What's going on, guys? James Camacho here. This is Kicking It With Camacho. Welcome to a weekend edition of Kicking It With Camacho. I am James Camacho, your host. This here is Bulba Camacho joining me on my side. It's my sidekick. He's on my side. He's now he's leaving. Okay. You good? You don't want to hang out? You want to be, my sidekick? You don't want to be the Robin to my Batman? Damn. Just like my girlfriend's, he done left. Guys, hope you're doing well. Man, got some big news. Big! It's big. It's going to be big news. As you guys may or may not know, if it's your first time tuning in to this solo cast, I have goals that I have announced, and throughout the weeks, I have been updating you on the goals. One of the goals has been to monetize my YouTube channel. In order to get there, I need 4,000 hours of watch time. That's my goal. That's where I get paid for the ads that they show on my videos. There is also a monetization goal of 3,000 hours, where basically if I do live chats or if I do a premiere for a video and people can buy supers, I think they're called like super likes or whatever. Basically, people can donate money to me as I'm like live streaming or premiering something. And I am very, very thrilled and very, very humbled to announce that I have reached the first tier of monetization. I surpassed 3,000 hours. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Currently, we're at 3,034 hours. And guys, I just want to say million thank yous, many thanks, gracias, grazie, xiexie to everyone. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, sorry to cut off the thank you. I have my fan on here. You can't have a fan on during a podcast. You do that, people start tuning out. It's not cool to be cool with a fan on you in the podcast. But yes, guys, thank you so much for watching. This is all because of you. All the, I make the podcast, I make the stand-up clips, I edit them, yada, yada, yada. But if, no one watched, none of this would be possible. So guys, thank you so much for your viewership. It really means a lot. I'm not at any, I'm not a Joe Rogan. I'm not a Nightcap. I'm not any of these really, what the hell is that other podcast? Are You Garbage? Tim Dillon. I'm not any of these guys, right? But the views I get, while it may not be crazy, braggable numbers, it is truly amazing. And I really appreciate every single one of you that's watching, that has watched, and that continues to watch. Now, with that being said, the next goal is 4,000 hours. We are 966 away. If I recall, I really started getting my watch hours up around my breakup, which was last August. And I think at that time I had like 900 hours. So it took me about, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. It took about 9 months to get 3,000. So I guess that's 3/4 of a year. So it might take me 3 months to get to 4,000. But, I have all this backlog content. I have a past podcast. So I think we can get that number up a little sooner than that. And it's great timing because my special should be coming out soon. A little update on that. It's done. But right now, we're trying to sell it to a company that may want, we're pitching it to companies that have the resources to sell it to a network or a platform like, Netflix, YouTube, Amazon. So, it's going to be very important for me to have my channel monetized in case it goes to YouTube. So when I put the special out, I can get actual money back from it. And guys, just again, it's so, I always say this, The best thing in life is when you work hard and you can achieve your goals. Not goals like, you know, I'm going to take out the trash today. Nothing like that. I'm talking about long-term difficult goals. That's what life's about, just setting those goals and accomplishing them, and we are getting there. I really appreciate it. And with this 3,000 hour monetization thing, I am able to make money from like super chats and like stuff on like that from live feeds. So let me know if you guys would be interested in a live podcast, like a live stream podcast. Basically, I would just do this, but we'd live stream it. We would set a certain time. People can join in the chat. They can comment. Maybe I can read some of the comments. If you guys want to send questions live, we can kind of do it that way. And we can try to, like, you know, utilize the monetization that I do have. So, yeah, write in if you think you'd be down for that. And then we can maybe figure out a time that works for everyone. Maybe probably like 7 p.m. Eastern time or something when people are off work. We'll figure that out. But just want to say thank you, guys. It means a lot. It's been a lot of hard work. It's been a long journey. And we're getting there. So I really appreciate it, man. My other goal is my bench press goal. I'm trying to get to 225 for just one repetition. Is it a repetition if you only do it once? I guess repetition. Because repetition means repeat. So would it be two for repetition? I don't know. But I told you guys I'm trying to do progressive overload, where now instead of like just, you know, benching for one rep, I am now trying to bench for 8 to 12 reps. So I'm going to go back down weight and trying to build my strength up that way. And I benched on, I want to say it was Monday. So you know what? I haven't benched since I recorded the last podcast. I am benching tomorrow. That's at 165. And, you know, it's going to take time. But with hard work, diet, we're going to get there. I'm very confident, man. I'm very confident. Every goal you accomplish makes you more confident you can accomplish your future goals, you know? So, yes, guys, thank you so much. Real quick, I want to just plug my tour dates. We got some new ones. I've been really going hard on the booking. I just want to, maybe I'm coming to your city. So let me know if one of these cities or a city you're in and you're going to come to the show. I'm in the Bahamas at the Atlantis. Is that what it's called? For 2 weeks, starting on Monday, April 22nd to May 5th. I'm guessing no one from online is going to come from that. But Milwaukee just announced May 16th, Thursday. Kenosha Comedy Club in Kenosha, Wisconsin, May 17th, 18th. McKinney, Texas, May 31st, June 1st. Gilbert, Arizona, June 7th, 8th. I'm doing a casino in Pine Top, Arizona, June 10th. Stress Factory, New Brunswick, New Jersey, The Patio, June 29th, and Albany, New York, June 30th. That's a makeup date for the show that got canceled because of the snow a month or two ago. Those are the tour dates, and I got to be honest with you guys. I'm going to the Bahamas. I'm leaving Monday, and I am not at all, not even a little bit excited. I'm dreading it. Like, I am at the point now where if, like, God forbid something happened to the resort or I don't know, something happened where the comedy club, there was a flood and they can't, I would, and they told me I could, the shows are off, I would be ecstatic, man. You know, it would be bittersweet because I don't want to go, but I need the money. It's work. That's life. You know, for life, you got to go do things, you know, you got to work. Sometimes work isn't always fun. And I can't really complain because, you know, my job is literally, I mean, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be in some, like, luxury resort for 2 weeks in the sun. I'm going to have to work for, like, what, 45 minutes a night. So I can't really complain. But this is something I'm starting to learn about myself. The reason why I don't want to go is because I don't like being away from home, you know? Like, I get offered to do, like, cruise ships. But I don't want to do them because I literally would have to be on the cruise ship for, like, 2-3 weeks at a time. And the money to me is, like, it doesn't matter to me, man. Like, I just don't want to be away from home. And the reasoning is, you know, I want to be in town for in case an audition comes up. I want to be in town because, like, I love doing New York City spots, right? And, man, honestly, too, my kittens, man, I got little children here. And, man, it's going to be so tough to be gone for 2 weeks and not see them. Luckily, I have someone coming in to take care of them. They're going to be kept company, but I love these guys, man. I mean, it's going to be really difficult for me to not be with them for a couple weeks. I mean, it won't be difficult. Like, I'll be fine, but it's like, I wish I could bring them with me. If I had one cat, I might, but I think bringing two might be too much trouble. I'd also go into, like, international waters. If I was flying domestically, I would definitely consider it, but that's something I'm learning about myself, man. It's like, you know, I kind of grew up in, like, a crazy home, you know? Like, my mom was, growing up, was very strict. So it's like, I'd come home from school. What'd you get in the test? B? La, 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 la. You know? I don't know why she's not fucking, whatever. I don't want to say a race and be offensive. But yeah, like, so it was like, you know, I'd be terrified to come home sometimes because, you know, I was an idiot. I used to get bad grades. And then my dad is, you know, my dad's very, got a temper, right? So he's like pounding walls, screaming all the time. It's just like, I just grew up in the kind of like a, that's why I'm so jittery, you know? I'm always like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm hyper aware. That's why I'm very empathetic. It's because, like, I'm kind of like in my head and like always kind of like sensing, observing all the time. And to have like a home, like, you know, I live, you know, I got my own place in New York City. I got my cats. I got my little family here. I got my, you know, I got my grocery store. I got my, you know, I got my Chinese restaurant. I got my, my comedy club down the street, you know, the comic strip. I just really like being home. You know, I like the peace. I like feeling like, you know, I literally love this apartment. Like, man, I grew up so much growing up. It was, being home, kind of like not wanting to go home. Then when I was living in college, I had a year where I was like living with a roommate, and that was fantastic. But then I moved into situations that were also a little bit weird. Like I started living with like a bunch of dudes in like a disgusting environment. So that wasn't always great. And then when I moved to New York City for the first time, I was living in an apartment with no goddamn bathroom. I literally had to like walk down the hall with the key and hope no one else was in there to go to the bathroom. And then, you know, I was living with my ex, and that was beautiful for a few years. But then, you know, as we were not getting along and stuff, that became kind of tumultuous. So I really enjoy having a place, a home, you know. And, you know, I feel like this all the time. Like a couple years ago, I did a tour in the Middle East. I think I was gone for like 20 days, which is only a week more than I'm going to be gone now. But I remember leading up to it, I just did not want to go, man. I had like the butterflies and the, not the butterflies, like I'm nervous, just like kind of like the dread. But I went, and it was, and every time I get down there, I always have a, you know, I always enjoy it. And then when I look back after it's all said and done, I never regret it. I'm just, that's the kind of guy I am, I feel like. Because even when it's like, even when I'm home and I'm going to go meet a friend or I'm going to go like hang out at a comedy club and like meet people, I always kind of get jittery, like who's going to be there? Are they going to hate me? Am I overstepping? I'm the loser. You know, just kind of these horrible thoughts. So I have this imposter syndrome, as the shrink calls it, you know. So, but like I said, I'm complaining about nothing. These are first world problems, you know. These are champagne problems. I'm going to be doing my dream job in a resort. Free lodging, I get like 50% off food. And you know, one thing, like I would prefer to have gone with someone, you know, bring a date, bring someone. Got close, but decided it wasn't a good idea to bring this one person I had in mind. But honestly, man, being alone is great. I'll be able to do everything on my own time. I'll be able to get a lot of work done. I should pick out a project, like a 2 week long project to work on. Maybe I'll write a screenplay. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I should figure maybe read a book. Whoa, read a book. What am I, Huckleberry Finn out here? Now, Huckleberry Finn wrote books, right? Maybe I should write a book. Look at the memoirs of my life. But yeah, honestly, you know, I'm going to try to keep my diet. Hey, buddy, come here. You want to sit down? Come on, make a decision. A good decision. But yeah, I'll you know, I'm gonna stick to my I'm here to my diet. It's gonna be tough on the road, but I'll figure something out. I'll see what they have here that's healthy and just work out, do the shows. I'm gonna, like I said, I'll work on some project, write a screenplay or just something, write new material and in a resort. I'll be at the beach. I'll be, you know, I'll have my my chesticles out, my little swimsuit, and yeah, man, the body's getting there, dude. I've been doing a week of a lot of cardio. Did I say this in the last, did I say exactly what the goals were in the last podcast? I want to lose like 8 pounds. I want to get my body fat down to like 10%. And I calculated that I need to lose about, 10 pounds, 8 to 10 pounds for that. Cause I need to shed about 2 pounds of, yeah, we did. I remember doing the on the last podcast. So, it's looking good. You can see my obliques. The V cut's coming in there. Still a little bit of a pouch, but you know, we'll get rid of that. You know what I've been doing every day, and it's partially exhausting, but it's also been great for my energy. I've been walking 10,000 steps a day, every single day, and it's very easy in New York because obviously you got to walk everywhere. But it's like, you know, what I usually do now is like, let's say I have a show at 8 in Midtown. I live in the Upper East Side. Usually I would like leave at like 7:30, take the train. Now I just like, you know, I get all my work done, right? I fluff my cats. And then I just walk, you know? So like every day I've been walking like an hour, hour and a half to my shows. I get my 10,000 steps. And I got to admit, man, like I feel great. Like I feel really lean. I feel really active. And my energy's up. Like I want to go do more stuff. But also, I've been sleeping like a baby at night. I've been actually having a little bit of insomnia issues. Now, when I say little insomnia issues, it means like I'll go to bed and then like I'll be kind of rolling around for like an hour, 2 hours. I don't actually like, you know, stay up all night. I eventually do fall asleep. But recently, I think it's because of the walking and just getting out there. The wind's on your face, you know. Taxis are honking at you. Homeless guys are pooping on you. I'm just like tiring myself out more and, just making me sleep better. So all in all, and I'm burning calories, which is like helping me get to my goal of getting shredded. And, it's been great, man. 10,000 steps a day. It's been really, I love it. I love it. And I'm going to do it today too. Whenever I get the chance. Oh, we have one battery. Oh, we're one battery on the audio. We might have to change batteries if it dies. But yeah, god damn, I had a point before I looked at the battery. I always want to make sure it's recording because you know me, I'd be forgetting to hit record sometimes. But yeah, 10,000 steps a day, baby. Energy's up. Headaches are gone. Life is pretty good. I got a cat on my lap. I feel like a fucking, I feel like a king, you know, just petting my cat. You know, some guy comes up to me begging for his life. Sir, I did not mean, I didn't mean to make your chicken wrong. Oh, sir. He's like, get him away. Kill him. He's got a dart in the neck, right? I feel like I wouldn't be a tyrant if I was a king. I'm too, like, empathetic, you know? I had this joke in my... I'm trying to write these jokes about being an empath personality type. And one of them is, like empaths are the worst arguers. So it's like, you know, I used to argue with my ex. I'd be like, you're a liar. You lied to me. And she'd be like, I'm so sorry. And then instead of being like, you're a liar, like I got to end this relationship, I can't trust you. It's like you start like empathizing with the other person. You're being like, well, you know, they were put in the awkward position. Their dad was a liar. So they grew up with lying. I got to understand it's not their fault, blah, 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 blah. And like we'd also make the worst lawyers empaths. Like I'd be like a divorce lawyer. And I'd be like, my client deserves full custody of the kids. And the guy's like, well, I'm not going to see my kids. I'm like, ah, yeah, that kind of sucks, man. You know, maybe we should give him joint custody. Don't you feel bad? You know, I would just, it's a work in progress. I literally just wrote it yesterday. I've never said it on stage, but, you know, I got these ideas for these jokes about my emotional problems, which are hard to do for drunk comedy club crowds. You know, a lot of times they just want to hear dick jokes. Oh, cat. Oh, he's falling. He's falling. Dude, I'm multitasking. I'm playing with the cat and doing the podcast at the same time. That's pretty impressive, right? Oh boy, come on, cut up here, buddy. All right. Oh, see, cats are weird because they have no fear of falling. They're always like landing on their legs. But this guy's literally half of his body's hanging off the couch, And he's like, but at the same, he's not trying to save himself. He's just playing with my hands in the microphone. So I got to save him. Anyways, so yeah, Murdy homesick, which is kind of sad, you know. But I got to be positive, man. I got a great life. I got a great job, and I'm very happy. And we got 3,000 hours of watch time, motherfucker. I don't think I've cursed once this episode. I'm getting better. Anyways, guys, so this week's podcast, we're going to take it easy on the news topics. I didn't see anything really trending or anything too crazy. Also, too, like half these news topics, right, I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. I just read the article and I just babble on. But I do them because, like, it's clickbait in a way, right? Like, if something happens with Taylor Swift, I put it in the title of the podcast. People go, but then if I go, you know, James Camacho's weekend of shows, people are like, who? What? Who? Huh? I don't care. But I found something. So I found something interesting that I wanted to share with you guys. We can talk about this article I read. I don't know if it's, does article mean news? I think news means news, and article could just be just whatever you write about. Anyways. So, obviously, you guys know I went through a breakup. I was talking to my buddy the other day, who was funny because, like, we both have, like, the same timeline in our relationship. Like, it was, like, 4 years in, close to... he got engaged. My ex and I were, like, pretty much... I was kind of approaching that ring-buying thing. But we ended up breaking up. And then, so I met my buddy. I haven't seen him in a while. Him and his ex, there, he called off their engagement. They're moving out of their apartment, and he's a wreck. And we talked about it and stuff. You know, I shared some of the stuff I've been going through. He told me what he was going through, and just talking about breakups and how hard it is and all that stuff. And then you have all these other people that, like, aren't really going through breakups. They may have been through them, but they're not going through one now. They're kind of the outside looking in, and they're being, like, so blunt. It's just like everyone's like, Block her, or you're never going to recover. And then we're like, yeah, we know, but it's like, it's easier said than done, you know? Like, we're emotional now. Like, don't you understand? Block him, just shut the fuck up, blah, blah. Oh, I cursed. What are you going to do? But, yeah, they're just like, block him, you don't be stupid, blah, 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 blah. It's like, it's so much easier said than done, you know? God, I wish I was an emotionless robot. Who's an emotionless... I guess, like, these, like, millionaire, billionaire, CEO, hedge fund types. Yeah. I need some CEO energy. But, so, yeah, we were talking about the breakup, and it got me thinking, because you hear these kind of stats thrown out all the time, like, you know, whatever, 50% of marriages end in divorce, 70% of couples break up, when you know, someone puts a finger in the butt, or, you know, you get just all these, like, stats about breakups. So I was thinking, like, why not research these stats, and let's read them, and we'll discuss them on the podcast, you know? So let's do that. I found one that's pretty interesting. It is entitled, it's from GitNux, which is a weird name, GITNUX.com. It is a very, very interesting name for a thing. The title of the article is The Most Surprising Couple Breakup Statistics in 2024. So there's a bunch here. Let's read them and let's discuss. 70%, approximately 70% of couples break up within the first year of dating. That makes sense, you know? Yeah. I think anyone that most people I know that are like, I started dating this girl, and then, like, you know, you see them like 3-4 months later, you're like, hey, how's that going? They didn't work out. She was crazy. She's crazy, bro. Or whatever. He was a dick. You know, so it's usually, I would say, yeah, about 7 out of 10 times you ask someone, oh, you still with that girl or guy? I would say 3 out of 10 times you're like, yeah, we're still seeing each other. It's going great, you know? So 70% sounds pretty right. And then it gets to, after living together for 2 years, there's a 50% chance that a couple will break up or get married. That is interesting. That's a flip of a coin, you know? That's interesting. Because I thought it'd be a little bit more skewed to getting married, to be honest. I mean, my ex and I lived together for about two, three years, and we broke up, so who am I to say, you know? But, 50-50, yeah, I would have guessed that most people that move in together end up getting married. Partially because when you move in together, especially for 2 years, I mean, you got all your stuff there, you have all this attachment, you might get a pet. And it's really hard to, like, break down, move out, and start over again. I feel like most people, even if the relationship is not great, they just try to stick it out. So that is surprising to me. 50% after 2 years living together, break up or get married. They didn't include staying together. Oh, I guess that makes sense. I was going to say, well, how come there's no people that stay together but not get married? But then obviously that means they broke up. 50-50. You don't like those odds, you know? So you think about it, dude. If someone read that stat to you as you were getting, let's say you're dating a girl for a year, right? You get through that 70%, and you're thinking about, you know, you really like this girl, you think, you know, there's something there, and you think about moving in together, and someone just goes, you know, 50-50 chance, it's not going to work out. That would be a real bummer, you know? You don't want to be that friend. Your buddy says they're moving in with a girl, and then you go, hey, man, I'm just saying 50% chance it ain't going to work out. You know, but you go ahead and sign that lease. You go ahead. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed it was 50-50. About 60% of couples who break up are likely to get back together. That's higher than I thought. That is way higher than I thought. I thought that might be like 20%. So 60% of couples who break up, they go out in the world. They see what else is out there. They live life without them, and then 60% goes, man, I thought there was more fish in the sea, and nah, I'm going back to the well. I'm going back to the water. There's water in this well. Why do I need to go find another well? Water here is good, tastes good, it's obtainable. It's gonna listen to my stories. It's gonna let me bathe in it. Why not? 60%, that's interesting. I don't know, is that true? I've been in about four, how many relationships I've been in? Maybe three. God damn it. Like serious ones? I guess two. Have I been anything else? No, serious, like two serious relationships. So I guess, what are the odds that my ex and I get back? Because my other ex, I mean, still on the table, I guess, right? Sam, 60% chance. I didn't think that was a thing. That's pretty high. Because I'm just trying to think from experience of people that get, you know, that have broken, that, you know, couples have broken up. Man, there's not many that get back together. I almost don't know. I don't think I know anyone that's gotten back together if they're breaking up. I guess I've heard of stories of people that are together now that did go through that. But usually, people, I don't know. Maybe I'm not old enough to, or I've talked to enough couples. But 60% chance, wow. So, I wonder if there's a time on that. Like, maybe, like, in the first year, it's 60%. Then as second year, it's like 40, 50. So, according to this, my ex and I are likely to get back together.
That's what I've been hoping for, man.
No, I don't. I'm just joking. I'm just being facetious. About 25% or more of breakup events enter into a reconciliation process. Now, what the hell does that mean? What is a reconciliation process? That just sounds like what they restore friendly. Okay. So reconcile is restoring of friendly relations. So 25% or more breakup. And then, like, that they're, like, friendly after. See, that stat makes more sense to me. I feel like most people that break up, it's like, never want to hear from you again, block you, I'm done with you. But 25% being friendly, that's, that sounds about right. Is it good to be friends with your ex? I don't know. I see that sometimes on, like, you know, Instagram carousel, 7 things that are red flags, still friends with your ex. I'm like, well, that's 25% of people. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I guess it'd be a case by case basis. But if I was dating someone that was still friendly with their ex, it would just have to kind of really depend on like the situation. Like if they're like, oh yeah, like, you know, we text like once a year, he's married, you know, we moved on. I'd be like, oh, okay. But even then, that doesn't, I don't know. I don't think I'd want my ex to be friends. Not my ex. I don't think I'd want my friend, my girlfriend or boyfriend to be friends with their ex. You know? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could do that. What do we got here? Almost half of couples break up and then get back together. Now, hold on a second. We just read a stat that said 60%. 60% of couples who break up are likely to get back together. And 50% of couples break up. Okay, so likely. Okay. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. So now it's half. Half of couples break up, get back together. That makes more sense. I thought 60 likely. What does likely mean? You start talking a little bit and then you try it out, but maybe it doesn't go through all the way. And then 10% of those actually get back together. Half get back together. I still think it, to me, sounds more like a 30% thing. Yeah, dude, there's so many people I know that break up and then they don't talk to their exes. Way more than people that have gotten back together. So I don't know. That one's interesting. 35% married couples are at Married couples are at a 35% divorce risk if they argue about finances once per week. Whoa. Is that high? That sounds kind of high, right? Or low? If you argue about money once a week. Yeah, because I feel like most people are together for love, not money. But I can see how arguing about money definitely will come up. But it could also be kind of like a way to like bring up other stuff in the relationship. It can also cause like bitterness and resentment if you argue. And I feel like it could lead to more problems. But yeah, I mean, arguing about money, especially when you start having kids, you know, house, you get laid off, or if you're, you know, you're dating a comedian, that could be tough on the relationship. So just to know, if you're arguing with someone that you're married to right now about money once a week, you just 35% chance ain't going to work out, you know? But I think if you're dealing with for love and not for money, I think you're all right. I would say this 35% people that get divorced, it probably, you know, maybe it's just about the money. And they're not getting what they thought they would be getting financially, or they want to live better financially, so they find someone else. But probably I feel like, you know, maybe it enhances other arguments and causes resentment, you know. Mid-20s couples break up less, 20% than younger ones. Mid-20 couples break up less than younger. So what is younger ones? Like 18? Yeah, that makes total sense. 20% less. Yeah, dude. I mean, all the relationships of people I knew in like high school, college, they're like flings, really. Like you may date someone like a month or two, and then it's just like, whatever. Like you're too young to like make that kind of decision. You're going through puberty. You know, people don't really know how to communicate properly, or, you know, it's just a lot of emotional immaturity. So yeah, as you get older, as you get more experience, you're obviously going to be better at relationships, and the breakups are going to be less likely. 20%. That sounds about right to me. Yeah, I agree with those numbers. Let's see. Post breakup, women are more likely than men to experience a substantial increase in distress. I guess so. I guess. I feel like with my recent breakup, I was definitely distressed, but I was able to channel that into getting, finding myself, getting better, working hard in my career, building myself up. A lot of distress, though. My ex, I felt like, might have definitely was distressed, but might have put that energy into like other things to kind of like get away from being stressed. So I remember I was doing the podcast, man. I was always talk about like, you know, I'm in pain, I'm sad, you know, I'm emotional, and but I just want to feel everything. I want to feel everything, go through everything, just take it head on, walk through the coals, you know. And I just know once I go through this pain, I deal with it the right way, I'll be able to be better from the other side. And I was right. I was totally right. I'm glad I didn't like develop a drug problem, drinking problem. I'm glad I didn't go out and stick my my wiener into anything I saw. I'm glad I didn't just go off the rails. I just literally was sad. I didn't do anything to like hide from the pain, you know. The things I did to hide from the pain were working out, my career. I got I got cats. It was very tough though, man. But yeah, I guess for me, I dealt with it in a better way. So maybe that's what they're talking about. Women are the distress. Yeah, I would say that, man. Because as distressed as I was, my ex, you know, was way more emotional than I was. I was more like, I was in pain, but I was more like factual and like logical, and like I just dealt with it, you know. So it's a different type of distress, I guess. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's move on here. In the U.S., that's the United States of America, there's a 40 to 50% chance of a marriage ending in separation or divorce. Damn. 40 to 50% of a first marriage ending in separation. That's really high, man. You know? That's why you know it's a joke when someone's like, I found the one. It's like, yeah, you're probably, there's a good chance you're wrong about that, you know? 40 to 50%. I mean, we've heard that stat before. That's pretty thrown out there. But that's alarming, man. I mean, that makes me terrified to get married because, you know, even with my last relationship, every relationship I've ever been in, it's like you think things are going to be different. You think you're special. And then as time goes on, you're like, oh, wait, like this is like exactly what I've been hearing about, or this is what I read about. You know, like there's so many reasons why there's these stats and quotes. They're all true. I'm no different. I'm just a person like everyone else. I'm not Superman. So yeah, 50, but geez Louise, man, I really want to do anything I can to not get divorced, which in a way I feel like might get you divorced more if you catch my drift, you know, because I feel like with a good healthy relationship, you should want the other person, but you shouldn't really need the other person. You know, I feel like when you're too needy or you're relying on the other person too much and you don't have like your own identity or self-stability, it can become like tough on another person, also unattractive. So I'm going to do everything I can to avoid getting divorced when I get married. If I get married, you never know. I could be alone forever. But yeah, it's tough, man. What else do we got here? Nearly 30% of adults, American adults, report going through at least one breakup in the last 10 years. You know, I was going to say that was low, but then if you include, like, everyone that's, like, 30 or 40 and above that's married, that makes a lot of sense. Because, you know, when you're 40 and up, yeah, you get divorced, but, like, you know, a lot of those marriages or, you know, relationships have been going on for 10 more years. So, yeah, 30% of adults, yeah. Man, so 70% haven't gone through a breakup in the last 10 years? What the hell are these guys doing? You're not getting laid out there? 70% of people are not. Maybe they're just, I mean, you totally could be whoring themselves out. But damn, 30% of people are going through a break. Yeah, that seems kind of low. Listen, even like the ugliest person or the most unpleasant person, I mean, someone's out there for them, you know? Someone wants to bang them. That's kind of surprising. 10 years, that's a long sample size. Wow, 30%. Man, I wouldn't want to be in that. I would feel kind of insecure if I was in that group. More stats. I think we only got four more. In the first year following a divorce, a woman's standard of living usually drops about 73%. What the hell does that mean? In the first year, a woman's standard of living? So I guess I guess if you're a lady, before you get... Oh, following a divorce. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought this meant like first year of marriage. So following a divorce, a woman's standard of living. Oh, okay. So after she gets divorced, like all the nice stuff she has, car, house, all that stuff. All that stuff is, I guess, cut in the, by 73%. Yeah, I guess because like I guess it's still we're still in that thing where the men usually make the most money in the relationship in the marriage, right? They're the provider, the breadwinner. So when you get divorced, those checks aren't coming in. They're not taking care of you, and you really got to downsize your life. 73%, man, that's a good amount. Shit. If I lost 73% of my stuff in here, I'd be a lot of stuff. I probably don't even need 70% of the stuff I have in here. Yeah. But yeah, you don't want to live like a pauper, you know. That's pretty alarming. It's gotta be man, it's gotta be tough to be. That's why like yeah, that's why you know, ladies, you gotta, like I said, I know like a lot of ladies, like, you know, they may say whatever they want, but a lot of ladies do want to kind of be taken care of. They want to, you know, they want to have the option to work and do their own thing, which you should. And you definitely should, because you never know what's going to happen. If you marry a guy, you know, he's making all the money and you're kind of depending on him for your lifestyle. That's just, you want to be safe. Have your own thing going on, you know. And any guy that tells you to stop working, you shouldn't work, I'll take care of everything, and you want to work, but they still tell you to, like, not a great guy. Like, I think if a guy is going to tell you to stop working when you want to work with, like, the thing of, like, the caveat of, like, I'll take care of everything, it probably means he just wants you to be in that. He wants to control you, in a sense. You know, he wants you to be in that position where you need him and you can't leave him, you know? We've all seen those movies, right? Couples arguing. Lady's like, he goes, Brandon, where are you going, bitch? You know? Where the fuck are you going to go? You know? You need me. I pay your makeup, your car, your tampons. Like, shut the fuck up, you know? So yeah, ladies, gotta have your own thing going on. We want to have the option to have your own thing going on. Well, oh, more stats. Oh, how many stats we got here? Three left. Around 10% of cohabiting couples stay together for more than 15 years. Cohabiting. What the hell does that mean? What the hell does cohabiting mean? Living together and having a sexual relationship without being married. Okay. 10% stay together for more than 15 years. That's not a lot. Yeah, I think at a certain point, someone, usually the lady, goes, are you going to put a ring on it? Or at least the friends and the family pressure them, so... God damn, 15 years. That can't be a big sample size. I know a few couples that have been together for over a decade that are not married, and gotta be honest, doesn't seem too happy. Yeah, I think that's weird. I think listen, I get like marriage is a scam. I get all that stuff, but you know, if you're with someone that long, you love them, you know, your emotions and all your, you know, your logic kind of goes out the window, and society pressure comes in. You just do this thing because it's just a gesture of love, you know, as stupid as it is. That's really what it is. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be with someone for 50. I guess I don't think I'd like that, but I see why it would make sense. So I could be talked out of getting married. But being together with someone for a long time. Approximately 90% of couples experience decreased relationship satisfaction after the birth of their first child. Yeah, I mean, this is a hack joke, running gag or whatever. Yeah, you get married, have that kid, sex stops, arguments increase, you don't sleep together anymore, all that stuff. Like, I've heard that, and like, yeah, it's like, one, it's like you're taking care of a kid, So you're not getting much sleep. You know, you're, and I think the big thing is like your life goes from like, you know, me and her to like now it's all about the child, right? So you almost like become second fiddle to your partner. Yeah, man, I can't really say I've experienced, but those are my guesses. I guess another thing too, and this is going to be harsh to say, but it's the truth. It's like a lot of times when the ladies, they have children, their bodies kind of, you know, they get a little bit of a looser, if you know what I mean. And that could kill sex drive, which also can lead to relationship, decreased relationship satisfaction. Maybe the lady becomes tougher on the guy, or maybe the guy has some stupid comedy dream he's going for, and he's not spending enough time with the kid, and the wife gets upset. But it really just comes down to like, you know, it's not about you anymore when you have a kid, and that's why for me, I gotta be so mentally, financially prepared to turn my priorities in life from myself to another human being before I have kids, you know? Because I think a lot of this relationship satisfaction decrease is probably comes from not being ready. And it's not about you anymore, you know? You got to work as a team. Last one. About 67% of second marriages end in divorce. Yeah, that's totally plausible. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, it's not one of those. It's like, hey, man, like, I did it before. I can go through it again. You know what I mean? That's a pretty high number. Dude, that is insane. Like, why would you ever want to get married again when you know that's the stat, right? Yeah, I feel like the first one's got to be the hardest because, like, it, you know, you feel bad. You feel like people may judge you. You feel like a failure, right? It's like a first breakup. You're like, you know, you thought they were the one. How could this happen? But then that second breakup, third breakup, still hard, but it's just like, yeah, I've been through this before. I know what to do. I've survived it before. I'll be all right. So, yeah, once, you know, yeah, it's like you got that divorce experience. You know, that second one, hey, you might be quicker to pull the trigger on that one. Golly, man, I hope I never become one of those guys that's three times divorced, you know. That's some celebrity stuff right there, I feel like. That's some like, luxury stuff to get divorced multiple times, you know. But, yeah, guys, those are some pretty interesting breakup stats. I hope you guys found that interesting. I find it really fascinating. Obviously, I'm going through my breakup. My buddies are going through a breakup. Everyone's going through a breakup now. I think it's because it's the nice weather's coming. The girls got their shoulders out. Their cleavage are going. The skirts are going. And then the guys are, you know, everyone's trying to get ripped, get their abs out. And it's so sexual. It's more sexual during the summer. You know, it's hot, steamy. Yeah. So people start looking around. It's like, you know what? Like, why am I in this relationship when that's out there? That's out there. Yeah. Well, hope you guys found that interesting. Let's close, guys, with our motivational quote. No questions this week. I keep forgetting to ask for questions. Guys, if you have a question you'd like to ask me on the podcast, please comment it below. You could also email them at jamescamachocomedy@gmail.com for anonymity. I'll prompt for questions over as I'm in the Bahamas. Okay, ain't gonna have nothing to do there. Here's a motivational quote this week. Spend less time trying to impress doubters and more time being around your supporters. Let me read that again because I typed it wrong. Spend less time trying to impress doubters and more time being around supporters. Yeah. I feel like a lot of us, me included, we're always trying to, like, show off to people that we're doing great, right? Whatever, you get some new shirt, or, right, you know, I don't know. You just want to, the people that hate you, the people that think you stuck, or, like, the people that, like, I don't know, there's just people you want to impress that really don't care about you, right? We're always trying to do that. You know, like, why do you think like designer clothing, luxury fashion is a thing? People want to put on their, like, people want other people that don't give a crap about them to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they may for that 1 second, but it's like, you know, as soon as they turn around, they, you know, they don't care. They don't really care about you, you know? So many times when you get like, you know, for me online, right? Sometimes I'll post content being like, I'll prove all of them wrong. I'll show them. And it's like you put so much effort into like silencing people or like trying to prove people wrong that don't care about you. If someone doesn't mess with you, right? You think really you're going to change them? They just already don't mess with you, man. Like that's it. You lost them. You're not going to win over everyone, you know? But it's tough. We you know, a lot of us spend a lot of time trying to get revenge, right? If someone screws us over. And man, all that stuff is hard work. It's out of your control. It's stressful. It's depressing. It's distressing. And we should spend more time with people that love us, that want to hang around us. Like people, literally, you don't have to impress. You could literally show up wearing whatever you want. You know, you can be who you're, completely yourself, and they're gonna be totally on board with you. You know, like we got to stop taking advantage, taking that for granted. You know, and that's something I got to learn too. It's like a lot of times I spend time like thinking like, oh, if I do this, people will think I'm cool. If I do that, people will think I'm cool. And it's just like, just be yourself, man. And the people that like you, that's it. Those are the people you want to surround yourself with. You know, like I'm trying to do a thing now where I'm trying to be more social, connect more, network more. And like anyone that literally asks me out to lunch or to hang out, I just go out with them. Like obviously, I got to be careful because there's some people that want to take advantage of me. But for the most part, if someone's like, hey, let's get to dinner, like they're giving you your time, their time. And what is more valuable than that? You know, so you're in a sense, you're wanted. And yeah, I'm trying to spend more time being around people that support me and want me and, you know, bring your morale up. And honestly, you know, it's funny. Speaking of that quote, I wrote this in my, I have a little document where I write the quotes and I came up with my own and this kind of relates to it. I think this is fantastic. And we'll end on the podcast on this. Here are some of the most legit ways someone can show their appreciation to you. So, you know, obviously it could be anything from like you're dating someone or is this someone you work with or a coworker, right? Here are ways that you know that they truly are your friend, that they're truly like into you. If it's a dating situation or if they just actually like you. One, they give you their time. Like I said, if someone's willing to take time out of it, we have a finite amount of time. If someone's willing to give you their time, that means that they mess with you, right? Remember that. Anyone you give time to, that's another thing too. It's like any time, don't put time into things that aren't going to forward you. We only have like, just think of it. It's like, think of your money. Let's say you only had like $100, right? Would you be giving money away like that? Like a dollar here, a dollar there to nothing? No, you'd only give it away when you actually really needed to give it away. You know what I mean? So if someone gives you their time, that's a legit way that they can show they appreciate you. Give you money, obviously, it's just like, hey, money is a big thing. It makes the world go round, right? It funds our lifestyle. It's literally like, it. You know, I hate when people are like, money can't buy happy. I mean, yes, but also money is a great way to show your appreciation to someone. You know, my ex used to sometimes I'd buy her stuff and she'd be like, oh, you know, like, I don't want this. I don't, but it's like, yeah, it's like, I know, even if it's not the biggest deal to you, it's still a way for me to show you my appreciation, right? If you're trying to get a raise at your job or, you know, with these athletes trying to get new contracts, what is the best way to show that the company or the team values you? Is paying you the money that they think you're worth. They could say, oh man, we think you're great. You're a great employee. But if they're not writing those checks to you, it's just all BS. It's all words. Words are not on this list, by the way. Words don't mean nothing. It's all actions. So one, give them your time. Two, give them money. Give you money. Three is slob on that knob. That's what I wrote. If someone's, you know, if you're doing it dirty with someone, that obviously is that they're showing their appreciation to you. You know, you got to remember it's like, especially with women. They're sleeping with a guy. There's a chance of pregnancy. There's a chance of, you know, their whole life changing. And then, you know, if you want to relate to guys and girls, like obviously with sleeping together, there's a, you know, a disease that could come. There's like cancellation that could come. You know, that's like, you know, for a celebrity to sleep with someone, right? There's that chance. Like, I don't say it's not, it would definitely happen, but, you know, there's a chance that you're in the bedroom and you do something, you say something, and then, you know, they may want to put that out there and like kind of trying to ruin your reputation. So, yeah, if someone's willing to do the dirty with you, that's also a way they show your appreciation. Also, like, listen, if you go down on someone, right, for example, it's like you don't get any pleasure from that. You're just giving them pleasure. So obviously it's like giving someone a massage, you know. It's a totally selfless act. Maybe give massage is one way. I'll put that next to slob on my knob. Give massage pleasure. How about that? I guess that just kind of goes with time. But yeah, that, a little more specific. And the last one I have, and if you have more examples, please write them in so I can add to my list. Here's the last example I have. Feed you. That's another thing. So, you know, someone cooks for you, guy, girl cooks for you. If you go to a restaurant and it's on the house, those are all ways of showing your appreciation, you know? Yeah, the cook for someone, I mean, literally, you're just giving them life, you know? You're giving them, you're putting effort into giving them something that they need for survival. So, yeah. That's a legit way someone, and you know, I feel like women have told me that before, where it's just like, you know, I really just wanted to show my appreciation. I really wanted to show you that I like you. So, I want to cook something for you, you know? And it's always very nice to hear as a guy, you know, cause it's kind of a thing you do when you get married, right? That's like, it's, you know, obviously traditional values, right? You may call it antiquated, but it's like the wife usually cooks, guy comes home, sits down after a long day of work, puts his tie around his neck, and then, honey, what'd you make? What's for dinner today? You know, so. But also, one of my ex-girlfriend's birthdays, I really wanted to show my appreciation for her. But instead of taking her out, I made her, I cooked for her. I made like these homemade pizzas, and I shaped them. I shaped like the crust, like deep dish style, into a heart, and. She was very happy, man. I remember the smile on her face, and that was probably one of the nicest things I've ever done for her and just for anyone in general. And yeah, making ingredients, you know, I'm measuring things out. I'm in the kitchen, like, just, you know, I got a bib on, you know. I got all these ingredients too. I had to go to the store, do all that stuff again. It just kind of comes down to time, money. But yeah, I really wanted to show my appreciation towards her. So, guys, if you feel like someone's not appreciating you, it could be someone you're dating, it could be someone that you work with. If just check it, are they giving you their time? Are they giving you money? Are they slobbing on a knob? Are they feeding you? If any of those things, they don't really appreciate you. Or just ask them to do one of those things. Seriously, just be like, you're at work, you feel underappreciated. I like a raise. No, they don't appreciate you, right? You there's someone that you think is your friend. Hey, you want to hang out sometime? I can't. I'm booked up for the rest of the year. Don't want to give you their time. They don't really appreciate you. You're dating someone, or you think you're dating someone. They don't want to do it with you, right? They don't appreciate you. And then the feed me one's a little bit. I guess if you're a kid and your parents don't feed you, then they definitely don't appreciate you. That one's a little dark, but is the feed one? Yeah, what's a good, better example of that? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you can ask, if you're in a relationship, maybe you can ask your partner. Like my ex kind of told me, like, I'd love for you to cook for me one day. So if you ask your partner to cook for you, just attempt to make something, and they don't want to do it, could be a sign they don't appreciate you. But you know what? I appreciate you guys. We're at 3,000 hours, baby! All right, that's the end of today's weekend podcast. Guys, I hope you had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. I have a fun weekend of shows coming up, and then I'm going off to the Bahamas. I'm already homesick, but it's going to stay positive. It's going to be a great time. Guys, thank you so much again. Thank you for helping me get to my goal. And please keep liking, sharing, commenting, subscribing. Please go to the socials, like the content, like the reels, like the TikToks, share them with someone, watch all the way until the end. Let's blow me up, baby. And I will see you on Tuesday. I'm going to record early, so I won't be in the Bahamas for the next episode, but the episode after that, I will probably be in my hotel. I will be coming to you from my hotel in the Bahamas. Guys, thank you so much. Sides and adios.